The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it is in the earth today, and it's in us. So what I want to speak to you about this morning. Last Sunday, we mentioned that there's only one most important thing in life. Now, there are many important things, but not all important things matter equally. There's only one most important thing. We looked at the story of two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha was busy and distracted with doing a lot of good things, but Mary chose the better thing, and that was sit and hear the word as Jesus spoke. And Jesus told Martha that there's only one thing necessary, and that is hearing the word of God. Today, give God's word your attention for a few minutes. I'm talking about the same power. Now, power is an interesting thing. We have great amounts of power in the world these days. Power, when it's used wrongly, can destroy the entire planet with nuclear warfare. But power, when it's used correctly, can lighten up the dark world. Both good and bad can come from power. But Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 has an interesting phrase. It says, God is upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, if you've been in church much in your life, as I have, we're well familiar with the phrase, the power of his word. The power of his word. We're very comfortable with that phrase. We know there is power in his word. But the arrangement of the words in this verse is interesting. It does not say God upholds all things by the power of his word. It says God upholds all things by the word of his power. The New Living Translation says he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. The Message Translation says he holds everything together by what he says. There is power when he speaks his word. Now, we have sung a song in the church I grew up, probably, where you attended in previous years. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. That is so true. 2,000 years have come and gone, and not 1 ounce of power in his blood has been lost. But there would be no power in his blood, there would be no power in his name, if there were not first and foremost power in his word. It's the word of his power by which he holds everything together. And the same power that was more than enough to raise Jesus' dead body back to life remains in the earth today, but it dwells inside us. And God does his powerful work in us these days. Now, if you are a graduate of the Christian Life School of Theology, and many of you are, or if you've been in church any length of time at all, you're familiar with the Greek word for power. In this case, is exousia. Exousia. And it means force, energy, capacity, competence, and mastery. The force of the Word of God, the energy of God's Word, the capacity of God's Word, the competence of God's Word, and the mastery of the Word of God. In physics, power is the rate of doing work, the ability to perform and accomplish. The power of God, dwells in us. The power of God is referenced in Scripture 275 times. It is an important issue. I'll give you just a few. Psalm 78, verses 41 and 42, it says this about the children of Israel. It says, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power. Now, how can we, mortal men and women, limit God? The Almighty, the Sovereign, the All-Powerful, Omnipotent God. How can we put Him in a box and restrain Him? By not remembering His power. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power. Now we're in an election year. Every 4 years we do this. We elect a president, a man or a woman perhaps this time, that will be what the world calls the most powerful man or woman in the world. What we will witness after this election is over is a transfer of power. There comes that one moment, and according to our Constitution, it happens at high noon, the stroke of noon, 12 o'clock noon on the appointed day, when the former president transfers his power to the new president that has just been elected. Now that's the best analogy we can compare to what happens with the transfer of spiritual authority and the power of God. God is all powerful, but the Word tells us that He transfers that power in portion to us. Now, I don't have it all. You don't have it all. That's why it's so important for the body to come into unity, because when we all come together in unity, then the body of Christ on earth is just as powerful as the Lord Jesus was Himself when He was on earth in bodily form. It's the transfer of power from God to us. Now, a lot goes on with this transfer of power, the power of God. That's why we don't need to forget. We need a reminder. Today is a reminder. The power of God has not been diminished at all. The power of God is still released in the earth, and He's given us the responsibility to handle it wisely and to use it correctly. We're His representatives now on earth, and we wield His power in the earth. Well, if I was preaching this in a Pentecostal church, they'd be shouting right about now. Come on now. Don't you tempt me up in here this morning. Dr. Mary, I'm going with it, sister. I'm going with it. Now, somebody will like this. Maybe not everybody. It's good news for me. Somebody's going to like this. The power of God does so much for us if we understand it and let it operate in our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 18 says this. God says, "You shall remember the Lord your God." Here it is. Remember Him again. We forget His power if we're not careful, and we pay a high price when we fail to remember God's power. But here it is, look at this. "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth." Anybody happy with that? Now, the prosperity gospel is erroneous in many ways, only because some television preachers perhaps have miscommunicated the truth in this verse, and it's easy to misunderstand and assume what the Bible says here is God gives you wealth. Didn't say that. It said God gives you power to get wealth. Travis Matthews sitting right here has been a faithful man, and I wouldn't share this I wouldn't just rat him out, but it's his own testimony. He shared it for the glory of God a few years back. But he's a faithful man, as we all know. Look in the dictionary under faithful. His picture's right there. And God gave him an idea, and against the odds, he made an investment a few years back because he felt God was in it. And the Lord leads us, you know. When we are able to hear His Word in power, it's like a light to our footsteps. If you don't know where to take your next footstep, you need a word from God, because the Bible says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. So if you don't know where to put your next footstep down, get a word of God's power, and it'll show you direction for your life. Travis made an investment in something, and within 1 year, I don't know how much the banks are paying. My sister Deborah knows. Deborah, how much Wells Fargo paying on interest at a... Deborah, if you need any money, go see my sister. Deborah's got all the money in Florence locked up in the vault down here at Wells Fargo Bank. Not much. They're not paying much. 0.0. That's like some of the presidential polls. 0.0. Oh, Lord. Travis got a word from God, made an investment, and within 1 year, received a 100% increase. In 1 year, it would take Wells Fargo 200 years to catch up with, all because of the ability to hear from God and remembering that it is our God who gives us power to get wealth. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Bible says, as many as received Him, He gave them power to become sons of God. In the Old Testament, there was the father of our faith, Abraham, a great giant of faith. Not only do we as Christians look to him as the father of our faith, the one who struck covenant with God that changed the world forever, but so do Muslims. They look to Abraham as the father of their faith. So do Jews. Three of the world's great religions all claim Abraham as the father of their faith. His faith was, as Donald Trump says, huge. Abraham had a son, Isaac, by the power of God. Isaac had a son, Jacob. Now, this is Abraham's grandboy, Jacob here. Jacob was a rascal. He was a conniver. He needed to be straightened out. And God showed up. And in a conversation with Jacob, God touched his hip. And God spoke to him and said, your name shall be called Israel. Now, when God shows up and touches you and speaks a word to you, everything changes. God said, your name will no longer be Jacob. You will be called Israel. And God said this to Jacob, you have power with God and with man. Imagine that. God allows us to be an insider, so much that we have power with God and with man. The Bible says the right hand of God is glorious in power. The Bible says God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt with great power. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The writer of Hebrews says the word of God is quick and powerful. The word says He made the earth by His power. How did He do it? By speaking a word. When God speaks a word, it's a word of power, and He holds everything together by the word of His power. He made the earth before he spoke a word of power, there was no form to the earth. It was darkness and without form, formless. And then God said, and there was. Every time he speaks a word, it is a word of power, and it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, which, by the way, is historical fact. Don't you know the scientists, the historians, the atheists, the agnostics, the skeptics, the critics? They've tried for 2,000 years to disprove it. If they could have, they would have long ago. It's a historic fact. He was dead for 3 days, and he came back to life. But God said, "Let there be light." And when he spoke, there was enough power in his word for the light to shine out of darkness. That's the power of his word. David said, "They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power." In Matthew 22 and verse 29, we'll look at one verse here. They were asking Jesus some questions, and Jesus answered and said unto them, "You are mistaken." Imagine that, having a conversation with the Lord, and his response is, "You are mistaken." The real word in the Greek says, "You're deceived." One translation says, "You are in error." Sort of nice, though, to only use the word mistaken. "You're mistaken," he said. Why? "Not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." Now, right here, we see the equivalent, the word and the power. The word of God is equal to the power of God. If you know one, you know the other. If you're familiar with one, you can understand the other. If you have one, you have the other, because they are the same. The word of God and the power of God are one and the same. And if we don't know the word, we will be mistaken, we will be deceived, and we will miss the power of God. Other scriptures: "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power." In the Lord's Prayer, Pastor Chris mentioned this quote from the model prayer: "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." The word says they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. He called his disciples together and gave them power over all devils. When he returns in the clouds, he will come in great power. One of the last things Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, he said, "Stay here in Jerusalem until you are endued with power." And then, our favorite benediction, a spoken blessing. Sometimes we'll close our Sunday morning services repeating this corporately. It's Ephesians 3:20. "He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in" who? Well, we're more powerful than we realize. If we knew what the word said about the power of God working in us, we would handle more responsibly the power available to us. Now, if you think you're weak and puny and pitiful and sad and all that, you might as well be, as a man thinketh. But if you're going to think about yourself the way God thinks of you and the way his word teaches us to think about ourselves, then you will know you're not a sad, pitiful mess. The same power that was in the body of Jesus on earth dwells in us today. If we don't know it, we're deceived. If we don't know that word of truth, then we don't know the power of God. And then the very last thing Jesus said before he ascended is Acts 1:8. Talking to his disciples, he says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now, whoop, wait a minute. Witnesses. Now, we've done crazy things with power, both in the world. You've seen buildings implode. I mean, power is is something else. But we've even misunderstood the power of God. And depending on the background, I grew up Pentecostal, and we knew what the power was. Now, we handled it in raw form. You know, sometimes you can get a hold of something so powerful, and you may want to let go, but you can't. It just... So, I mean, I went through the Pentecostal days as a child. I mean, that's part of my heritage. But I understand more than Pentecostals are going to heaven. It's not just for the... When I was a little boy in the second grade, I felt sorry for everybody in my class. Because they were Presbyterian and Methodist and Baptist, and God bless those Catholics. And they went down the road telling what they're doing. I thought, Pentecostal? And I thought, oh God, I'm so sorry for the rest of these children who are going to hell. Now, we had the power, but we didn't know what to do with it. What we did is we got our fix with it. We piled it all on ourselves. We felt better about it. We go to church and enjoy the power of God. We didn't change much of the world, but we felt a lot better when we got out of church. We were ready to go home and take a nap after that. And then come back on Sunday night for more. All right, tell me the truth now. How many want to come back tonight for church at 6 o'clock? How many, raise your hand now if you really want to. Oh, please. See? Listen to what he said. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness. That's what you do with power. You witness. Well, I don't know how to be. Look, if you hear a word of God's power spoken to you, you will have a story to tell. You'll have everything you need to be a witness. We have so poorly represented God in the earth that Christianity has taken on a bad rap. You know, if we don't do a better job representing God and His power, He's going to come back and represent His own self. But He's charged us with being witnesses of Him. And if you hear a word of God's power ever in your life, you'll be a witness. You'll have something to say. You'll have a story to tell. Quickly, we're going to wrap it up, and then I thought we would just praise and worship a little more before we leave. But I want to share with you several people quickly, just very quickly, that prove the point. One powerful word from God changes everything. One powerful word from God changes everything. Our church, celebrating 30 years this year, but back in our younger days, our smaller days, we were on House Springs Road, and if you've been in this church for a while, you know this story, but we have so many new people in the church, you may not know it, so quickly I'll give you a recap of how one word from God changed everything for our church. This is a true story. Many of you were here when it happened. We were on a property on House Springs Road, a smaller building. Our congregation was smaller, our church was smaller at that time, and we just thought we'd stay there for life. In fact, we were going to build another building down there, and 4 acres, and stay there. And our bishop came to speak, Bishop Houston Miles, and driving out of the parking lot, he said, "Carla, I see you're going to build another building here." I said, "Well, yes, sir, we're excited about it." And he said, "Well, have you thought about getting property in a better location?" I said, "Well, no, sir, we haven't thought about it. It's quicker to do it here, easier, cheaper. We are already here. We hadn't thought about it." And he simply said, now sometimes God will speak through people. Sometimes people you like, sometimes people you don't. He spoke through a jackass. I think he's spoken to me that way a few times. But our bishop, most honorable, he said this, Carl, when an oil company goes to build a gas station, they get the best location. And when it's if it's important for a gas company to have a good location, it's probably important for a church, don't you think? And I said, well, probably so, yes, sir. That was it. That was it. But I knew it was more than a man giving me a word. There was something there. There was a witness that God wanted us to pursue the possibility of different. So we looked and we said, well, we want to Irby Street. If we're going to move, we want Irby Street, the biggest street in our city, north to south. And we began looking at property. Everything was so expensive. We rolled it out just based on the expense. Until we found 21 acres down here. The sign for sale was so faded, it had been on the market for so many years and not sold. And I called the number anyway, and they gave me a very low price. Very low. And I said, what's wrong with the property? They said, nothing. It perks just fine. No restrictions to build. The only thing wrong, he said, is we don't own any frontage on Irby Street. We did, but we sold it. So all we have now is a 50-feet right-of-way into the property, and then it opens up further back and goes back a quarter of a mile. I mean, you could land a plane back there with all that. That's why it's at such a low price. And I said to the man on the phone, well, if it doesn't have any frontage, we wouldn't be interested. And he said, well, we sold the frontage 3 years ago, and they've never developed it. It's still there, empty. But we sold it to a gas company that was planning to build a gas station. And when he said that, I knew God was up to something. Why? Because of a word I'd heard. And there's power in the word you hear. Jesus said, if any of you have an ear, let him hear. And then to be sure we could hear, he gave us two. We're doubly qualified to hear a word. So I asked the man on the phone, well, what oil company did you sell it to? He said, Jordan Oil Company. He said, they have huge properties up and down the eastern seaboard, but their national headquarters is in Spartanburg. Well, I lived in Spartanburg, Brenda and I, for 10 years. We attended Evangel Cathedral, one of the great churches in the nation, and our pastor then was Bishop Houston Miles, who had given me the word, and he was in Spartanburg at Evangel Cathedral. I didn't mention any of this to the man on the phone. I said, well, we'll think about it. If we want to talk more, I'll call you. I called Bishop Miles, who lives in Spartanburg, pastoring the great church in Spartanburg, where the oil company was located, that owned the land down here. Got him on the phone. Bishop Miles, you remember a few weeks ago you told me when an oil company builds a gas station, they get great location? He said, yeah, I do. And I walked him through what was going on, and told him that we might be interested in that property if we could get the frontage, but it's owned by Jordan Oil Company. I said, Bishop Miles, they tell me Jordan Oil Company is headquartered in Spartanburg. I'm calling you right now just to see if by chance the president of Jordan Oil Company is a member of your church. And he said, he is. He's one of my most faithful men. Would you like for me to talk to him about those acres for you? I said, please. The next day, the president of Jordan Oil Company called me and said, if you want to buy them, I'll sell them to you for what we paid for them, just to be a blessing to the church. So we bought that property, and we thought, what a miracle, but no, it wasn't. We would have been happy, we would have settled for that, but it was much more than that. We wound up selling that 3 months later to Walmart, making four times on the money what we had borrowed from the bank. And that's why we're here right now on this great piece of property, debt-free and paid for, because God used Walmart and a word. He speaks His word with power. You'll be a witness. We bought the home we live in. Didn't think we could get it. Didn't know if we should. Totally clueless. In the dark, no light, until my wife Brenda ran into Pastor Chris's wife Joy at Walmart again. Wasn't it Walmart? How many of you are going to Walmart this afternoon? And Joy gave Brenda a word about the house. And Joy said, Brenda, that is your house. That is your house. Brenda came home and said, that's our house. I said, really? Who said? Joy. We bought it and moved in. A word. I mean, are you listening to the word, and can you tell if it's a word with power? We moved to California because we heard a word from God. Now listen, I have so many stories to tell. I'm a witness. I got a story to tell. But I'm not special. Listen, I am not special. No more than you. God will speak to you just as easily as He speaks to anybody else in the... Now, He makes us all feel special. He's such a great Father that way. I feel like I'm His favorite, but I know you are equally His favorite as I am. But He speaks His word with power. God said to Noah, listen, when God speaks, God spoke to Noah and said, the end of all flesh has come. Make yourself an ark. He spoke clearly. And because God's word is spoken with power, Noah saved himself and his family. That's why from that point all the way through the end of Scripture, we believe strongly in household salvation. Noah saved not only himself, but everybody in his household. The jailer asked, Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And oh, by the way, your whole household will be saved too. A word. The Bible says Noah found a grace. That's a good word these days. Now, faith and grace are slightly different. They work closely together. Faith requires that you jump. Grace allows you to land safely. It takes faith to do what Noah did. I'm going to destroy the world. I'll save you and your family if you'll build an ark and build it this big and this tall and this wide and this high. Build it out of this kind of wood. Bring two of every. I mean, Noah heard clearly details. And then he took the jump. Faith requires that you jump. Grace allows you to land safely. He saved himself and his family. In the New Testament, Peter had fished all night. It was a business to him. He wasn't having fun like you did yesterday at the lake, which I can't understand that. I don't know about golf either. I know some of you are grave at it, but I just don't know how to be good at some things. So I don't even try. Fishing is one of them. Don't ever go fishing with Larry Pearson. Ever. I did that about 30 years ago, and I never have gone back with anybody. If you want to get cured of fishing, go with Larry. But he caught 30 or so, and I didn't catch a thing. He was showing off. But now, Peter and his business partners had worked all night. It wasn't fun. They were working, trying to make a living for their families and had caught nothing. And Jesus walked up when they were about to call it a day and wash their nets and go home and and get a good night's rest. Finally, Jesus said, go back out. He spoke a word that had power. Go back out and cast your nets over there. And Peter argued. Have you ever argued? Heard the Lord speak and you argued back? It's okay to argue with the Lord as long as you go into the argument knowing you're going to lose. Go for it. He can handle it. Just go for it. Peter said, Lord, we know what we're doing. We've been working hard all night. We're good at what we do. No offense, all due respect, but they're not biting. And then he remembered, I just heard a word. I believe it's got some power in it. Nevertheless, Peter said, at your word, we'll do exactly what you said. They went out and caught so much fish, it make Larry ashamed. Nevertheless, at your word, have you ever had a moment like that? Then there was Saul. Now, he was the chief persecutor of the church. The early Christians in the newly formed church in the book of Acts. And Saul would torture them, kill them, put them in prison. He'd persecute them anyway. And he was good at it. He was on a road headed to a city in Syria today. That's in so much trouble. The city of Damascus. And God spoke to him so clearly and with such power, it transformed Saul, the murderer, the terrorist, if you will, into a great apostle in the New Testament who wrote 2/3 of New Testament scripture. What happened? He heard a word, and it came with such power. Not only did he hear a word, he saw a light. It blinded him for 3 days, knocked him off of his horse. Sometimes you will hear a word with such power, you will also see a light. Thy word is a light unto my path. Then that same man had another encounter later in his life with the word of power. Now he was Paul the apostle, and he had a thorn in the flesh. It's the subject of great debate even today, 2,000 years later. Some groups say it was this, some groups say it wasn't, some groups deny he had anything at all wrong. He wasn't specific about his, he just called it a thorn in the flesh, and he didn't like it. We don't know what it was, but we know why he had it. He said, so that I wouldn't get lifted up and exalted above measure because of the great revelations, all the word of power I've heard God speak to me, I would get puffed up and prideful if it weren't for this. That's why God has allowed this. And so he did what every good Christian with faith does. Go to the Lord and say, Father, please take this thorn away from me. Now, he was specific enough to say it was a messenger from Satan sent to buffet him. It was a thorn in the flesh. Imagine it. Paul, who had great power with God, prayed 3 times. Father, would you please remove this? And God never did. But God spoke a word of power, and it changed everything. Even though he didn't answer the prayer exactly as Paul prayed it, he heard God say, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, when Paul heard that word, wait a minute now, the thorn didn't leave. He carried it, so far as we know, to the grave. The thorn didn't leave. He prayed 3 times, Lord, let it leave. Take it from me. The Lord said, no, but I'm going to speak a word of power to you. It'll be better than that. You want one thing. You think you need one thing. I know you need something more than what you think you need, so I'm not going to answer you the prayer request like you're praying it. I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to give you a word with such power it will transform your life forever. And the word was, my grace is sufficient for you. And there was a shift when he heard the thorn didn't leave, but there was a shift. Immediately, read the next verse. Immediately, Paul went from begging God in prayer over and over to remove this thorn. Paul went to say immediately, I take pleasure in it now. Why? Because of the powerful word of God. When we hear it, circumstance in that case did not change, but a word changed everything. God's power is perfect for our weakness. Paul started preaching that. He said, I glory in it now. How about that? You can hate, dread, almost want to curse a thing that's happening in your life. You can pray three times for God to deal with it, and He may not, but He's capable of giving you a word addressing that issue that will change you as much as daylight and darkness, like it did Paul. He said, oh, God, please deliver me from that. Oh, my, I'm pleasuring in this. I am glorying in this infirmity now. Why? What made a difference? A word of power. The power of God spoken to him. And this is something we learn from Paul's life. God's grace in our lives is determined by his purpose on our lives. That's why we don't all have the same grace gifts. I have grace to do some things that you may not. You have the grace to do some things that I don't. That's why the best thing in the world is when we find our place in the kingdom of God, God's grace will rest on us there. And his grace on our lives is always determined by his purpose for us. Just like Paul, God said, I have a great purpose for you. Oh, I'm going to give you grace to get through that. And the same grace God's given me, he hasn't given you, and vice versa. Now, Paul also said something great in 1 Corinthians 15:43. He said, that which is sown in weakness will be raised in power. That which is sown in weakness will be raised in power. So much of what Paul did, he did from a position of weakness. But he knew if he would still sow, even in his weakness, everything that was in God's purpose in it all would be raised in power. And then finally, one last character in the Bible, and there are many, and God does not exclude women. By the way, women, God has a purpose for you, a grace for your life. God has a word of power to speak clearly to you what he has for you. I'm so glad God did not exclude women. There's so many women in Scripture. I'll just use one, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how a word changed everything. An angel, on this occasion, brought the word of God to her. An angel showed up. She was a teenage girl and said, you will conceive and bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will take away the sins of the world. Now, she had been raised in Jewish culture, in Jewish tradition, and from childhood on, now through her teenage years, she had been taught well that the day will come, a Savior would come. God's going to send a Savior. He's going to save the world from our sin. He's not here yet, but he's coming. She had heard that all of her life at the temple. And now an angel is giving her the word of God. You are the one, Mary. You're the one that's going to conceive. She said, how can it be? I've never had relations with a man. He said, the Holy Spirit is the one that will come on you, and you will conceive and bring forth a son. And she did what we all should do when we hear a word of power. She said, let it be so unto me. Let it be so unto me. That's when she got pregnant. She didn't get pregnant when the angel left heaven. She didn't get pregnant when the angel walked into her room. She didn't get pregnant even when the angel said, you shall. God many times tells me I shall, and it's a while longer before I shall. At first, sometimes I shall not. Takes a while for me sometimes. She didn't get pregnant when the angel said, you shall conceive. She got pregnant. By the way, boys and girls, it only takes a second. A split second. I don't know who needed that. It don't take 30 minutes or an hour. And she got pregnant the nanosecond. She said, let it be so unto me. When we hear a word from God, we need to realize this word has power. And our response should immediately be like Mary's, let it be so unto me. There comes a time when God says, regardless of what you're struggling with or dealing with, I will no longer keep silent. I will speak my word. And there comes a time, like the prophet Jeremiah said, when God speaks and says, I am ready to perform my word. Would you stand with me, please? Praise and worship team, will you come? Let's worship just for another couple of minutes before we leave. Bow your heads, please. Bow your heads, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is a sacred moment. If you're standing here today, and you may not be sure, and of course in a crowd this large, it's so possible. You may not be sure, absolutely certain, that you're surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. Raise your hand if that's you. Just raise your hand anywhere in the auditorium if that's you. I'm just not sure if I died today, I would go to heaven. God bless the hand here to my left. Any others want to be real this morning with God? You've heard a word. The word has power. Anybody else want to just admit, I'm just not sure? Okay. Hands down. One final question while your heads are still bowed. If you're here today and say, I'm struggling in some area, there's a deficiency in my life, and I need a word of power to be spoken from God to me. Raise your hand. I see hands. Several hands. You've raised your hands in faith. Get ready. Be expecting. You're going to hear God speak. Now, He can speak to you through a person, through a dream, through His Word. That's a good place. That's a safe place to start. Through somebody else, a man or a woman, a child. God can speak however He chooses. The question is not, can He speak or will He speak? The question is, will I hear and will I obey? So, I'm going to pray like this. Father, for those who may not be sure, meet with them within this hour. Let them know without a doubt that they are fully surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. We call them into the kingdom, and the power of the word of the gospel has done it all. May they enjoy the full benefits of your salvation. May they be a witness. May they tell somebody, oh Lord, they will have a story to tell. Lord, for those who are struggling and so aware of our dependency on your word spoken to us with great power, I pray that you would speak this week clearly. Do it any way you want, through any source you choose. May this be the week where God says, I am ready to perform my word. And more than anything else, Lord, we are grateful that the same power that raised Jesus back from the dead now dwells in us, and you are able to do far above, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think, ask, or imagine. And you always do it according to the power that is working in us. We worship you in your house today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.